Let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these words be yours and bless. Amen. I'm guessing this is your first time here, sir, right? That's what the girl behind the counter at Noodles & Company said to me. And she was right. But I still felt embarrassed, and so I had to ask, how can you tell? And she said, because you're just standing there for the last 5 minutes staring at our menu. But then, when I'd been in my ignorance, she explained to me the whole way the menu was. I've never been there. It's geographically divided. There's Mediterranean, there's Asian, there's North American cuisines, and you have to add what meat you want to have, sides, sauces, soups, etc. I opted for the pad thai. But I knew there's a whole bunch of others I wanted to try later, so I figured the next time I'll just walk right up and order just really fast and good. And then I got to the soda machine, which had 164 different concoctions, and I couldn't decide that. I'm staring there, and so I finally just got ice and Coke Zero with lemon went all the way down my sleeve. Now the proverb usually reads, he who hesitates is lost. But as you go through life, you discover that sometimes that's not always true. Sometimes you need to kind of like contemplate before making a decision. However, the opposite of that is usually true. He who is lost hesitates. When we don't know where we're going, when we don't know what we're doing, we slow down, we get cautious, we may not make a move at all. Can't find the right address in a new subdivision? You're putting together something, some assembly requires, and on page 3, you're just breezing through it, then tab A does not fit slot B at all. There isn't even a slot B. First time you visit Home Depot, Costco, or Powell's World of Books. Approaching the TSA checkpoint, as you race through the airport, you get there, you slow down. Probably that's because it's a giant line, but you would be slowing down anyway. I have to find a new car, a new used car. And I go, yes, this is exactly what I want. I'm out there, and it's taking me forever. Like I said, when we're lost, we take our time. We contemplate the pros and cons. Sometimes even when we've already decided. We hedge our bets. It's just human nature. But you think that maybe the same thing is true spiritually? That if you're lost, if you're not really that sure about Jesus, if you're not that confident in God's promises, you might just find yourself hesitating, vacillating, maybe doing nothing at all. Just wondering. You know, the confidence that permeates our epistle lesson. Romans chapter 8, Paul's great pep talk that ends, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor nothing else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow! Does that epitomize our way through life? Or are we a little bit slower? Reticent? Don't answer that right now. Right here. Let it manifest itself in what you do the rest of the week. I'm going to do something pretty rash and dangerous right now. Hold on to your seats. This is a basket. And these are all my eggs. And I'm going to put all my eggs in this one basket. This is supposed to be one of the most dangerous things a human being can do. And so don't try this at home. But I want you to. You see, to be successful, expert tells us we have to diversify in our assets, our education, our attitudes. To financially need to spread our wealth around savings bonds, IRAs, savings accounts, maybe some gold here and there. Then socially, we have to do the same thing. Try different things, meet new people, network, cherish new experiences. That academically, a well-rounded course of study will prove better for you in the long run than focusing on one small segment. Putting all your eggs in one basket can lead to disaster. your basket. And that seems like solid advice. But funny, Jesus doesn't think that way. In fact, as far as our spiritual portfolio is concerned, Jesus' words imply that we should do the exact opposite. Jesus doesn't ask his followers how much he in for. He says, follow me, and either you're all in or you're not. He demands that we jump in with both feet. All or nothing, do or die, sink or swim. Take all of your eggs and put them in one basket. Which is what makes that gospel lesson I just read a few moments ago a rather difficult lesson for us to swallow. What do you think about that kind of commitment that Jesus says we have to do? Does he really mean it? Everything? Right away? I mean, honestly, I hear his words, and part of me kind of hopes that he's not really being serious here. I want to hedge my bets. I want to hesitate. I'm just not quite sure. Does that mean I'm lost? Does that mean that to Jesus' way of thinking, I'm not fit for the kingdom of heaven? See, Jesus implies that that kingdom should make us feel compelled to do some rash, some crazy, reckless things. That it's seeing in the tiniest of all seeds, a massive bush, a bird-filled tree, and our tiny faith can grow like that. It's seeing, it's knowing, even though you can't tell and you're not absolutely sure how a little yeast can make a whole bread dough rise. And that's what the Spirit does to us. In a sense, Jesus is giving us an opportunity to get into the ground floor of something huge. His own version of insider trading. Although he's not trading, he's not selling out, he's getting us to buy in. Imagine. 1995, you responded to the little plea that Jeff Bezos asked some people around Seattle. You had $100 to help me in this new thing I'm going to do called Kadabra? If you would have given him that money then, would it be worth now? As part of Amazon? But that's nothing compared to what Jesus is offering to us right now. He's letting us in on a secret investment he doesn't want to be secret at all. His kingdom. Only there's a catch. The investor has to give up everything he's got. All of it. Nothing less is acceptable. There can be no holding back. Are you in for it all? To emphasize this point, Jesus tells two stories. Actually, it's really just the same story told twice with different ramifications due to social strata. But it should leave each one of us that have ears to hear wondering, how do we approach the approaching kingdom of heaven? Story number one. You are a digger of ditches, a maker of furrows, a planter of other people's seeds, scraping a meager existence from the rocky soil of Palestine. Sun up to sundown, day after day, you do the dirty work that no one else wants to do for pennies. And each night you collapse, exhausted from your labors in a rented room. Actually, it's not even a room, it's just a corner of a barn. And sometimes you'd like to dream if you had the energy at the end of the day, but you don't. Because the hope always dissipates with the dawn of the new morning and the same grind over and over again. Until one day, you're digging. Thunk. Your shovel hits something. And you dig a little bit more and you unearth a strong box that is filled with gold and jewels. Wasn't it all that uncommon thing back in those days? People didn't have banks, so if they went away on a long journey or went to war, they would take their precious possessions, bury it in a place where only they would know, and go off on their business, and sometimes they didn't come back. Well, that's what happens to you. You look and you see this jewelous treasure right before your eyes. And a plan comes to mind. Because as it is, that treasure does not belong to you. But it could. All you have to do is buy the field where it is, and it's yours as part of that. So you rebury the chest. And then you go and try to scrape up all the money you need, which is probably probably easier said than done for a ditch digger. Jesus' words kind of belie the difficulty of the task. He says he goes out and sells all he has to bury the field. The man probably didn't have a lot to sell. So just imagine all the begging and borrowing, the pleading and pledging he has to do, the prohibitive interest rates, the exorbitant promissory notes that makes Jacob's 14-year labor to get Rachel as a wife seem like nothing. It's so much to say. It's just temporary. This is a sure thing. How can I pass this up? Jesus says, that's the way it is. The kingdom of heaven. Story number two. You are a merchant of fine jewels. The New Testament equivalent of a friend in the diamond business. You know all there is to know about this luxurious market, but you have a particular predilection toward pearls, those round, smooth, opalescent gems that are as good to look at as they are to hold. In fact, all your life, you've had this secret longing to find the pearl of all pearls. It's a possibility that looms with every transaction you've ever made. One day there it is. The pearl beyond price. And you see it and you have to have it. So like the ditch digger, you go out and sell all you have, but this pearl does not come cheaply and you have a lot more to sell. But everything goes. Your furniture, your house, your car, your wine collection, your 88 plasma TV with surround sound. It all goes. And your friends are dumbfounded. They say, have you lost your mind? And you tell them, no, I finally found what I've been looking for my entire life. And the story ends with you sitting there all by yourself in this empty room, devoid of all furnishings that you have to vacate by the end of the month. Just you and your precious pearl. And you are happy beyond imagining. Jesus says, that's the way it is. Kingdom of heaven. But maybe you should have said, that's the way it should be with the kingdom of heaven. Is it for us? Or do we hesitate? And if we hesitate, are we lost? Today's parable makes a strong case that unless you are willing to dive in, risk it all, you are not fit to enter the kingdom of heaven. The responding to Jesus is an all-or-nothing proposition. Half measures, straddling with one foot on earth and one foot in heaven will not cut it. Those who play it safe will lose. Those who slow down to contemplate the pros and cons are going to miss out. Because this treasure, which is ours for the taking, is also ours for the leaving. Jesus points out the obvious that where your heart is, there your treasure is going to be also. And later he says that all those who seek to keep their life are going to lose it, but those who lose their life will gain it. When Jesus calls, when this kingdom plops down right in front of us, we have to decide. And then a cool decide is one of those I words. Decide, like suicide, homicide, fratricide, genocide. It means something gets killed, something gets put to death when we decide. We kill off all those alternatives. We eliminate all those things that would stand in our way, the other options. The kingdom requires that we die to this world and embrace it. That it should be something that moves us to action, a rash and reckless response to be a part of it, even if that might mean doubt and debt, and danger and death. But why not? After all, Jesus died so that he could give it to us. So does that mean that those of us who are too cautious, too circumspect, too hesitant, are doomed? I hope not. Because like I said, I know that in my life, those rare moments of all or nothing, 100% devotion, are not nearly as numerous as all the other half-hearted attempts to be sort of good. But every time I'm prone to keeping it safe, secure, and sure, the that I'd rather look very carefully before I plan to leave. I should take all those moments and look at them with a little suspicion. Because it's what's keeping me from saying, all in. And yet even then, I can take comfort in the fact that this kingdom Jesus promises is given, not earned. That entering it does not hinge upon whatever I can do for God. It is what God has done for me through Jesus. It is free, but it's not cheap. It cost him his life. But that's where the guarantee comes from. One of my favorite songs we sing in church is "You Were My All in All." I mean, I think it's also one of Jesus' favorites. Even though he didn't sing it, he just lived it. He just died it. That's why he has every reason, every right to ask the same of us. When the moment comes, when you get a glimpse of his kingdom, don't hesitate. Put all your eggs in one basket and get right. God grant that. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, in your hearts and your minds, Christ Jesus, the light of the world.